One of the most confusing terms that has always been a part of Christianity, regardless of the name over the door, is baptism. And when I had the opportunity of serving the International Church in Aruba, you had a real mixed bag of everybody. And I had one Greek couple, and their little boy needed to be baptized, so we had holy oil sent in from New York City, if there's anything holy in New York City. And anyway, they sent in the oil, and I had this little nude boy in this basin to baptize, and I thought I was going to slip him out of the... I really did. It was like Slippery Pig. I thought he was... But I did the oil baptism as they requested, and we went over that. There was always the request for immersion baptism, and I was always delighted to march down to the Caribbean, and I don't know if it's good to look like you're going snorkeling, but anyway, we would do the immersion baptism. There was also the regular, as most Protestant churches, the sprinkling. So baptism was everybody's choice. I like that. And it taught me a lot of things too, because baptism really is a symbolic act of us being a part of the body of Christ. That's exactly what it means. Remember this. The Jews have baptism as well. I'm going to mention that in the sermon too. In Judaism, if you are converting from the outside to become a member of the synagogue, the temple of Judaism, you're baptized. That means that you're being refreshed. Refreshed from the old to their way. So the old's taken away. Just with the act of just the symbol. Okay? Water is cleansing. This morning, when we talk about oil renewal, it's basically putting a mark on your head, reminding you that by the grace of God, you're God's child. And as God's child, you have a responsibility to also be a disciple of Jesus Christ. That's what it is, and that's what it does. Baptism is not a miraculous something. In conversation with one of my family members who was recently immersed, because he'd been baptized by me when he was a baby. It's all right. Makes you feel good, do it. I prefer to be immersed in warm water. That's my choice. You want cold stuff? That's your business. It's symbolic. It's symbolic. And all of you know my favorite story about baptism that I have, and I always do it when I'm talking to Baptists or Pentecostals. If you go into your knees in the water, are you baptized? No. If you go into your waist, are you baptized? No. If you go into your neck, are you baptized? No. If you go in and the water's over your head, are you baptized? Yes. I said, what's the argument? That's where we start. Anyway, what we're doing this morning is celebrating not only the act of communion, the celebration that Christ gives to us in terms of remembering Him and finding strength in the Holy Spirit, but also renewing ourselves as committed Christians on this Baptism Sunday. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. Okay, now, the scripture that we're going to be sharing with you, I would tell you to open your Bibles to read, but it comes from a different translation. It's the New World Translation, which is different than the international that you have in the pews. So don't bother opening your Bible. Just listen. Just listen. All right? Say amen. Oh, I love to hear Presbyterians do that. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. But John would have hindered him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me. But Jesus answering said to him, Allow it now, for this is the fitting way for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. Jesus, when he was baptized, went up directly from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. He saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and coming upon him. Behold, a voice out of the heavens said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Thank you. You know, from earliest times, Christians have always questioned exactly what I said to you earlier, baptism. Why does it mean anything at all? And they found it difficult to understand Jesus' baptism, particularly. When he came to John to be baptized, that's a strange act, it seems, particularly in Judaism at the time, because he was a Jew. What was he getting baptized for? He wasn't joining Judaism. He wasn't becoming one of them. He was already one of them. What was going on? Now, John, too, was perplexed about the request that Jesus made. You see, it was John's conviction that it was he who needed to be renewed in Jesus Christ, and not just the opposite of Jesus coming to him. So he was really kind of confused. In either case, the baptism of Jesus brought together the Jewish concept. It brought together, you see, a concept of a new beginning, which is what Christ was trying to impart to his cousin John, the baptizer. A new beginning. And it was also to give emphasis to the idea of forgiveness of sin, which comes later, forgiveness of sin, which became then the signature teaching of Jesus Christ. We are forgiven because God loves us the way we are. Outstanding. Outstanding. Jews baptize anyone becoming one of them in faith. And a new beginning had its whole background in Jesus' upbringing. And so he wanted to emphasize again, when he went to John, when you baptize me, it is a new beginning for all of us. For all of us. And so you can see that it marked him for the new beginning that he wanted to say for everyone else. Now remember, last week I told you it was all conjecture. What was it like the 30 years before he began his ministry? He was growing up in Nazareth. He was like one of us. Growing up in a household of brothers and sisters like us. Growing up, learning, making mistakes, probably getting bawled out. Until he was ready for the ministry that began with this baptism. Now, last week, when I recall all of this to you, I also wanted to let you know, and I pointed out too, that he was getting prepared for this new life that God had planned for him. A new life that he had planned, and a new life that he wanted to impart to people who were following him, us. Okay. With John and baptism, the time had arrived, the new beginning was done, it was going to happen. Okay. This was a tremendous act because Jews were only accustomed to baptizing converts. Baptism for them was for the unclean, for the unsure, for the sinner, not for God's chosen people. And by the very act of him being baptized, he was saying that I may be God's chosen people, but I've got news for you. There's a different way that God's chosen people are going to be acting and performing and called to task for in all of their life. In this act by Jesus, the observers at once became conscious of their sin and need of God as never before in their lives. In baptism, Jesus identified himself. He identified himself with those he came to save. Now, the voice Jesus heard, that we heard in the scripture, and that you can read on your own, in your own text, is of vital importance because it's not just a quote that we hear from Scripture. It's a quote from the Old Testament that serves as a pivotal point to say that this was something of a miracle that was happening with the baptism of Jesus Christ. For instance, the two quotations that we have in this scripture, Psalm 2, verse 7, "This is my son." That's important. It's an accepted description of the Messiah, and it's one that was really formidable in terms of Judaism. The second is an accepted scripture from Isaiah 42, the first verse, "With whom I am well pleased," the Son. It's leading into the other parts of Isaiah which refer to the coming Messiah, which is a description of the suffering servant, which all of you are aware of because I use it at Christmas Eve most years, is Isaiah 53. In this baptism, we find two certainties. And I looked at this and I thought, how can we clarify this that makes a lot of sense for everyone? Well, one of the certainties is that Jesus was in fact the chosen one of God. He was chosen by God to be the Messiah. Secondly, there's a certainty that the way in front of him, the way in front of him was toward the cross. Make no bones about it. That's scripture. He was going to be the sacrificial lamb for you and for me. In this baptismal moment that we find in Scripture, Jesus knew, I think he knew very clearly, he was indeed going to be the conqueror. He was going to be the living Word. He was going to be the chosen one, but that his conquering, his chosenness, must have its only weapon. His only weapon was to overcome the suffering and pain that people would know in life, and they would only know this through his love and the love that God had given him and gives us. God loves us so powerfully. It's, you see, in this moment there was set before Jesus and for us the terrible task of service, the terrible task of servanthood, and the call to fulfill it regardless of who you are, regardless of what age you are, regardless of what sex you are. God is calling you to fulfill the servanthood. Now, that's the conquering item of baptism. Someone said, will it make me a better person? Well, sometimes. When I've stood at the baptistry and I baptize a baby, it's not important with the water and the child or the adult. The important part is when I ask you to accept the responsibility for that person. Do you know what you say? We will. You say it. Do you mean it? That's baptism. Do you mean it? The servant part is difficult. Maybe that's why in that upper room when Jesus stood with his disciples, and he said, this is my body that's broken for you. Take it and eat. This is my blood that's poured out for the covenant, the new covenant, the renewed covenant. Drink it all. Remember me. The baptism of our Lord for you. God our Father, we're grateful for your Spirit and your love. And thank you for inviting us individually to be sharers, not only of Christ's brokenness, but his wholeness. Amen.